And I could have done it last week. Actually, it's probably significant that the scripture today is, I mean, the title of the talk is, It is a Tree of Life, since squirrels are in trees, or they're supposed to be in trees, not in attics. But here's the amazing thing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're going to need to get the tape from Saturday Yom Kippur service to be able to follow through. But after the service on that Saturday, went home, figured the squirrel would be screaming at me from the roof, as he has been for days. Got home, squirrel wasn't on the roof. You know, looked and to see if maybe he was kind of, you know, peering out of that little area which he was sneaking into the attic, and he wasn't there either. So I thought that was a little curious. So I went back in the house, came back out a few hours later. Still, squirrel was missing. And then I figured, well, the next day, still nothing around. And I thought, well, maybe I had put a trap in the attic to nail him. And so I thought, well, maybe he's in the trap. So I went into the attic. Nope, not in the trap. And literally, the squirrel repented and is gone. Now, I know that's bizarre. And I said to the Lord that was a great miracle, Lord, but I would rather see healing. You know, if we're going to choose a few miracles, I'll take healing of humans over elimination of squirrels. But, you know, I'm happily received the squirrel's exit strategy and whatever that was. So I don't know what happened, but thank the Lord, and we are free from those wretched squirrels. All right, it is a tree of life. That's really the talk today, because it's about Simchat Torah. And of course, the portion today is from the beginning of Genesis, which is the Garden of Eden. And I want you to picture with me just for a second the garden experience. And everything was grand in the garden. Everything was lovely. It was lush. It was beautiful and peaceful. The presence of the Lord was fully throughout the garden. There was no pain. There was no sickness. There was no death. There was no sorrow. That's what the Garden of Eden was like. And in the garden, there were two particular trees that were mentioned. There was the tree of life, which we're talking about today, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, in the garden, there's not a lot of discussion about the tree of life. It's simply mentioned that there's a tree of life. And then after Adam and Eve take of the forbidden fruit, the scripture says they are prevented from getting to the tree of life, and they're guarded. The angels guard the tree from being accessed. But we know a lot about the other tree, about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve were prohibited from taking of that particular tree. They were tempted to take the fruit of that tree by the serpent. And of course, we know they did take of that tree, the fruit of that tree, and they ate it. And the result was cataclysmic for them and for the human race. The result was, for them, fear, shame, blame shifting, separation between man and God, strife between men and women, disharmony between man and nature, pain, toilsome labor, and death. In other words, it was not a good choice by Adam and Eve. And the question is, what was this tree that they took from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Because it doesn't really define what that tree was. It simply says they were prohibited from taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it doesn't really say anything about the tree. What was that tree that they took from? And the answer is the tree. Now here is an example of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sorry, friend. Just kidding. Somewhat. The tree, what is that tree? The tree were life choices apart from God. That's what that tree was. In other words, the result of that tree, of the taking of the tree, is the knowledge of saying, I am my own God. I plan my own destiny. I have my own goals. I am who I am apart from God. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as you know, many of us have been there. Many in the world are there. This is the choice that they have made. The problem is the scripture says this. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the end thereof is the way of death. And for Adam and Eve, what looked good turned disastrous. And that's what happens when we make choices that are apart from the Lord. The result is cataclysmic. Now, God's purposes, no matter what happens, never changes for us or for all humanity. His goal is really simple. From the beginning all the way to the end through Revelation, it's to bring his presence and his rulership over all the earth, that everything would be subjected to him and experience his fullness. Man, but here's the issue here, is that what happens is, no matter what God's purposes are, because his purposes are fulfilled in an agreement with mankind. In other words, God doesn't do it by himself. God's will is not accomplished by God alone. God's will is accomplished in partnership with us, in partnership with mankind. And the difficulty is that man is not always faithful to that partnership agreement. And so what happens is when there is a breach of the agreement, God has to make adjustments because his purposes remain the same. And that's what you see throughout the Bible, throughout human history, and even in our own lives, is none of us here, I'm sure we could say that we follow the Lord perfectly in our life. We make wrong choices. We take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the Lord is faithful to still accomplish his purposes in our lives as long as we are turning to him. And when we do, he makes adjustments in our path to enable us to get back to the plan that God had for our lives. And so what happens here is this. When mankind does not fulfill his side of the partnership agreement, God adds new partners and he compensates for the failings of the old. But his purposes always remain the same. Now, in the book of Genesis, all the way through the book, what God is doing in this book is he's finding the right partner and he's developing the partnership, which is his purposes. And as we know in the book of Genesis, that God calls forth Abraham, he calls him to himself. According to Jewish tradition, the rabbis ask, why was Abraham the one who was called, as opposed to everyone else, all the other representatives of the other nations? And according to Jewish tradition, this is that God offered his calling and his Torah to many, many other groups, but everyone refused except for Abraham. And now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but the reality is that Abraham was the one who responded to the Lord. And that's where God's purposes are fulfilled. Now, God develops this partnership with Abraham and his descendants over hundreds of years. Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph, then the Exodus. Remember, hundreds of years, God is fulfilling and working and developing this partnership agreement. You see, we in our era particularly, we expect everything to happen just like this. You know, it's like, if the Lord doesn't come through like this, then we get disappointed. It's like, where is God? And so forth. But the Lord's purposes work out over long, long periods of time. And in this particular case, hundreds of years. And finally, we get to the Mount Sinai experience. 2 million people have come out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And they stand before Mount Sinai and they stand before the Lord. And this is what the Lord says to this collection of people. He says, if you keep my covenant, then out of all of the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me mamlechet kohanim, a kingdom of priests, and vegoi kadosh, a holy nation. That's what you're going to be for me. You are going to be called out by the Lord to be his representatives. And this nation, in partnership with the Lord, is to bring the Lord's presence and his rulership over the earth so that throughout all of the earth, it'll be just like the Garden of Eden. There will be peace. There will be harmony between God and man, and man and man, and man and nature, men and women, and so on and so forth. So it's a partnership that we have with God and that the Israelites had with God to fulfill these particular purposes. Now, how is it to happen? How is God's purposes going to happen? It's by being a good partner. In other words, it's a partnership. That means both partners have responsibilities. And if we're a good partner, then we're going to see the purposes of God fulfilled. God says this, if you fulfill the terms of this agreement that I have with you to the Israelites, or in the scriptural vernacular, keep my commandments, then this is what you're going to have: economic prosperity, peace, victory over your enemies, health, long life. These are the promises that God made to the Israelites. And this agreement, this Torah, which was the agreement that God, this is the partnership agreement that God had with his people, this Torah is the tree of life. You see, the tree of life was barred in the Garden of Eden, but it wasn't forever barred. The tree of life was transformed to become the Torah, because the scripture says that if you keep these things, if you keep this agreement, then you're going to have life. Death will be repelled. Sickness will be turned back, and you'll have health. That was the tree of life. And consequently, if all of these people keep this partnership agreement, the rest of the world is going to take notice. Wow, your people don't get sick. Wow, your families are like wholesome. Wow, there's economic prosperity. Your agriculture is blooming and so on. What is it about you? And then the Israelites can say, come and meet our God. And the rest of the nation say, yes, we're convinced. They submit themselves to the Lord. And then the presence of the Lord comes over all the earth, as the scripture says, and his rulership rules and so forth. But the problem is, as we know from the scriptures, that just like the Garden of Eden, the partners didn't fulfill their side of the agreement, as we read in the scriptures. And so God added new partners. He made some more adjustments, but his purposes remain the same. What happened here? Prophet Jeremiah says to the same people that God is going to, that he says to them through the prophet, you broke my partnership agreement. He says this to the Israelites. You broke my partnership agreement. I'm going to make a new agreement with you and with your descendants. It's going to be a little bit different than the other one, but it's still going to fulfill my purposes. And then we come to the book of John. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So the Lord's saying he's going to make a new agreement with this very same people. And we come to John 1. And John makes some remarkable connections here with the beginning of the Genesis story, which is what we read in the beginning. John 1, 1. It says this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In the Hebrew, the beginning of John would sound like this. Bereshit bara Elohim ve'et hashemayim ve'et haaretz. Excuse me, that's the beginning of Genesis. I just read that. And that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in the book of John, it's Bereshit Hayadavar and Hadavar HaElohim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What's the Lord trying to, what's John trying to do? He's trying to make a connection here between who Yeshua was and the creation story. So how does he make that connection? The question is how did God create in the Genesis story? Remember how he created? He said, let there be, said, the scripture says, God said, God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. And so, in other words, what created the earth and the heavens? It was the word of the Lord. It was God's words, his speech created the earth. Now John says, as we've just said here, Bereshit Hayah Hadavar Hadavar Hayah Et HaElohim, he says that it's Yeshua who is the Word, and then the scripture says in verse 3, if you'll notice right here, through him, through the Word, all things were made. In other words, in Genesis, it was the words of the Lord that created. John is saying that Yeshua is the Word, and he's the actual one that did the creating. What does it mean when it says that Yeshua is the Word, or the Word was God, and so forth? You see, words created from the beginning. John shows that Yeshua is the Word, which means, think about what the word means. The word word means to express, to communicate. In other words, Yeshua becomes the expression of God. He is the means of communication of God. Think about when Yeshua came to the earth. What is he communicating? He is communicating who God is. Because he's a human on the earth, people are able to see him and see the Lord, see the presence of the Lord, see the face of the Lord in the human Yeshua, because he is God's expression on the earth to who God is in heaven, you see? That's the reason that Yeshua came. Paul says that he is the image of the invisible God. John goes on to say later that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And thus, through Yeshua, in his words, the new covenant is confirmed. In other words, that which was promised by the prophet Jeremiah, the covenant is confirmed through him. Yeshua makes it clear that the new covenant does not abolish the law and the prophets that was given in the earlier covenant, but rather he comes to renew the words that were spoken back at the time of Moses and to fulfill them and to give them their new meaning. So how does this all connect together? We know that in the beginning it was God's words that created. According to John, Yeshua is the word because he is the expression of God and he was involved in the creation. So in other words, words always create. And words create either life or death. The words of God create life. Words that come from the knowledge of good and evil create death. That's the problem. Words are the form, is God's form of creation. It's the way things are created into existence. Now, Yeshua says this a little bit later. He says, "He who loves me will keep my commandments." You see, what he's saying here is it's exactly like the promises in the Torah. In other words, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, you keep his ways, then good things will follow you. That's the tree of life. That's what God promised, that if you follow these things that the Lord says, good things will happen to you. Why? It's because as we follow him, as we are in agreement, in other words, we're fulfilling the terms of the partnership agreement that we have with the Lord, we are fulfilling God's purposes on the earth, and as a result of that, God brings blessing into our lives. People around about us see the blessing in our lives, and they say, "What is it about you that's different, that's unique, that's refreshing?" And then you're able to tell them about the things of the Lord. They can come to the knowledge of God, and this is the way the knowledge of God is spread throughout the earth. We begin to live a model life, and the nations come to know the living God. Now, let's connect it to today as I'm getting ready to close. Today is Simchat Torah. This is where we celebrate Simchat Torah. It's the rejoicing in the Torah, rejoicing in the end of the reading cycle and the beginning of the new reading cycle. And it's fun. It's a fun time as we all had. But I want you to turn with me to one last scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 18. Proverbs 3 verse 18. This is what it says, Proverbs 3, verse 18. It says this, talking about the Torah, talking about God's instructions. "She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." In other words, those who embrace the words of the Lord, it's a tree of life to those people. Now, when we say embrace, we're not meaning to literally carry the Torah around and thus it's going to be a tree of life to us. It's as if there's some magical thing about the Torah scroll so that when we touch this, suddenly the life of God shoots into our body and our lives are tremendously changed. That's not what it's talking about, obviously. When it's talking about embracing the Torah, it means, or the scriptures, the words of the Lord, it means to read it, to study it, to apply it, and to follow it. You see, we've seen from the Genesis story that the Lord's words created the earth because the words of God always create life, no matter what the situation is. And the same is true today. The Lord's words create life. When we submit ourselves to hear the Lord's words, life is produced in our body. But when we choose of the other way, it produces death. It's the words, folks, that I'm talking about that are in this book. And so I want to ask you some questions that you can answer yourself. Do you read this book daily? Because these are the Lord's words. Do you read it daily? Let me tell you how we should read this book. As you know, my three daughters are overseas right now. And the main way we communicate with them is through email. And so every day, I'm looking for an email from one of my daughters to kind of tell me what's going on. And so what are their letters via email usually say? Well, they usually say that they love me. That's encouraging. They usually tell me what they're doing. They usually are learning something about themselves and about the Lord. And so I look forward with great anticipation to hear and to read those words. And that's the way we need to be towards this book. You see, that this is God's words to you and me. These are his promises. We need to know these things and embrace these things. We need to have the same kind of anticipation that I was just describing in trying to receive the email from my own daughters. And so, do you read it daily? Do you take the opportunity to study this? Even come to the Torah study or other kinds of studies? Do you allow God to speak to you through these words? Let me just give you a couple of quick examples from the scriptures and ask you, does this affect you? Like Yeshua says at one point, he says, his words, before you take the speck out of another person's eye, remove the log out of your own. I wonder how many of us sometimes are critical of people, loved ones around us, people in the congregation, spouses, children, and so forth. Do you respond to God's word before you see the fault in the other person? How about removing the log in your own? When you read the scripture, does it have an effect on you? Or does it just go right over your head? And it's just like, oh, well. And is your life really changing? Another example. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which will transcend your heart and mind, will guard your heart and mind in Yeshua the Messiah. Now, we're going to take a little vote here. Who, in the last few weeks, have been worried about something or a little concerned about something? Raise your hand. Let's just be honest. Okay, that's a lot of people. Almost a majority here, okay? But the scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but let by everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and his peace will guard your hearts and minds of the Messiah. So when we read that, or we read the scriptures, does it just fly right over our head? Or is it having an impact in our lives? Because these are the words of life. These words can change your life. Another example. It says, cast all your cares and anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Do we do it? Or does it just pass right over us? Have we gotten so used to this book? I mean, I'm not going to ask how many people read this daily. I don't want to embarrass the congregation. Okay. But I'm asking you in your own hearts, do you read it daily? Are you anticipating? Are these words changing you? Because if not, there's something missing, folks. And we need to face the fact that we need to embrace these words. These are the living words. And I just want to, you know, at the conclusion of the Torah service, we always chant this little prayer here, which I'm just going to read here again. And because it's about the tree of life. And this is what it says. Chaim hi, which is, it is a tree of life. L'hamazakim ba, which is who take hold of it. B'tom echecha mi'ushar, and those who support it are praiseworthy. D'irahecha darcheinoam, its ways are ways of pleasantness. V'chal nitotecha shalom, and all its paths are peace. Then, Hashvienu Adonai, return to us, O Lord. Elocha v'nashuva, and we shall come back. And then it closes with this, Chadesh, which is renew us or renew. Chadesh yameinu, renew our days. Chadesh yameinu kikedem. Renew our days as in the days of old. Many of us here have known the Lord for a long time. Some less. And in the beginning, there was this excitement. There was a fire. There was a desire to know him. And then sometimes it cools off. And this little chant is about recognizing the tree of life, which is the word of God, through Yeshua, and recognizing and saying to the Lord, renew us as in the days of old. Bring us back to you, Lord. Set that fire in there again so that we would become the people that you desire, so that we can become real partners with God and we can become transforming people. The Lord wants to use you and me to help change this world. It's really up to you and me. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this, this day, for Simchat Torah, Lord. Father, I just want to pray for anybody in this room, Lord, who has been slipping away, Lord, that the fire is not there anymore. Whatever it might be, Lord, the word doesn't have the impact it once had. Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, renew us, oh God, renew us as in the days of old, Lord. Stir us up. Bring us back to where there was an excitement to get into your word and to be transformed and our lives to be changed, Lord. It was once that way. It can be that way again. Lord, we repent, oh God, of just taking things, you know, lightly, reading your scriptures superficially, not even reading them at times. We repent, oh God. Renew us as in the days of old, Lord. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward. Also, the bookstore will be open. And especially for visitors, please make sure you leave your visitor's cards in there and you can get a free gift. And close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yarer Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisadonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, through Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God. Amen.